This is your NFL preview show featuring former Ute and NFL great Eric Weddle with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, this is 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Every Thursday at this time, we bring you your NFL preview show where we talk NFL football, and who better to break it down for us than the man himself, Eric Weddle, kind enough to join us. Eric, how are you?
Mr. Weddle.
Doing great, man. Doing great.
How amazing was that first week of NFL football? Like, it was incredible.
Man, it was fun. It was fun to sit back and enjoy the game, be a fan, cheer on and support the guys that I'm close with. And man, it was surreal. It was a surreal experience for me to be at home with the kids for the first time in 13 years and to be able to have a Sunday with football on that dad gets to be home for. It was pretty special for all of us. And I just sat there enjoying it and taking all the fun, the great plays, the emotions, and really outside of seeing some teammates and coaches celebrating after wins, that was really the only time where I missed it. But seeing those guys crash into each other and hitting each other and seeing guys roll over and get up on one knee, like, oh gosh, I don't miss that one bit. But man, it was some great football out there. It's good that football's back, and hopefully they'll continue to be safe and move.
So no regrets then, watching games on that opening day. This is the first full set of games. You sat back on the couch and you thought, you know what? I made the right choice.
Oh, 100% no regrets. You guys know me and have been around me for much of my college and NFL career, and I live with no regrets. I say what I feel. I try to live the day to the fullest, treat each day like it's your last, and stand up for what you believe in. Good, bad, or indifferent, you own it, man up to it. Yeah, I mean, I was just, it was good. It was a good place. I was happy. I was enjoying it, and there wasn't much of anxiety. Anything of the latter that some guys go through. It was just joy to be home, watching the game I love and appreciate, and just get to cheer on guys and teams that I enjoy watching.
Man, that does my heart good. And I hope that does all the football fans' hearts good that are out there listening to you and getting a chance to hear from you every week. And to hear that emotion and to hear that things went smooth and you enjoyed it, it really does. It eases you, because that could go the other way for a lot of people. You know, not everybody gets to choose when they walk away from this game, Eric.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, a lot of guys have career ended short by injuries, careers that luckily last a long time, but the transition and what to look forward to, right? What to put your time and energy in. And it's even at times with me, like the just the purpose and fulfillment you try to navigate through, right? And you do that, but you have a great surrounding support, right? You have a great balance. You know, have the church in my life. You know, I'm a convert to the church of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and that just has always brought me back center. That's always been a centering point for me to keep me in line and refocus. And when you stray afar a little bit, that you bring yourself back to center, and that's your family. That's trying to serve and trying to treat everyone with love and respect. And when you have that balance, it makes a transition move a bit easier, because, you know, football has never defined me. You know, it's what I did for a long time, but it's never something that made me live my life. You know, I didn't live for football. I love the game, but never defined me. And so being able to transition, there'll be times where it'll be rough, but I think I have a good support and something to occupy my time and mind and challenge myself that will make that transition a bit easier.
Overall, do you feel pretty good? I mean, when you wake up in the morning and get out of bed, is there a significant amount of aches and pains, or do you feel like you've left the game in a pretty good place there?
Definitely how do I put it? I don't want this to be like, woe is me, Eric. Like,
yeah,
it's not. I don't think, and honestly, Hans can understand it. I don't think there's a day, a minute goes by where I'm not in pain of some part of my body, depending on what I'm doing. You know, whether it's my neck, my right shoulder, both hips, my lower back, my knees, my toes, there's always pain. And honestly, the thing that's helped me the most is still continuing to exercise and work out every day to get the blood going through my body. And that doesn't take away the pain, but it makes moving and walking and bending over just a tad bit better as you go throughout your day. But it's can be difficult at times.
But Eric, it's still strange because if somebody were to tell me, hey, your son's going to go on and have a 8 or 10 or 12 year NFL career and deal with what you're dealing with or dealing with, you know, what others have dealt with, would you want it? Would you allow it? And I would say, yes, I would want it and I would allow it.
100%. Listen, I know the lessons and what I've learned from the game, how to, you know, just the life lessons to how I've become a man of who I am and struggling, toughness, dealing with different people, different backgrounds. I mean, you don't get that everywhere else. So, of course, you know, I would support my son plays. He's been playing. This is his third year in tackle. He's 11 years old, and he loves it, lives for it. The ability that he gets around his teammates to learn from them, to get back up off the ground. It's no different from any kind of sport, but for basketball or football especially, I mean, what you learn from there will last a lifetime. And, you know, I have no regrets playing, and my son's going to play as long as he wants. And for, you know, whenever he wants to move on to something else, I'll be there right there to support him and help him along the way.
That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about some of these games this past weekend. I want to get your thoughts on what took place. First off, we talked last Thursday, and then the Thursday night game, Kansas City went and pretty much put it to the Texans. Are they still, in your opinion, far and away the best team in the league?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say far and away. I think it's a two-horse race in the AFC as of right now with the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then everyone else is just a step below. Those teams and a few others just look like they were already in mid-season form, which is crazy to think about, but it probably shows the coaching staff and how they operated the practice and game-like and, you know, taking all those factors in to come out first game of the year with no preseason games, no really live action, depending on where you're, you know, how you scheduled practices. It was pretty impressive of how those guys played and operated. So, It's going to be interesting to see about, you know, 4 to 6 games in, what teams start clicking, what teams start gelling and getting comfortable with each other. I mean, Tampa is a great example of that. I mean, they're still trying to find their identity and who they are as a team, how they're going to fit all those pieces in. But midseason, there's no doubt that I think they'll be one of the top 4 NFC teams in the NFC.
You know, Eric, I wanted to ask you in an opener situation, you know, that first game, if you're Atlanta and you're Matt Ryan and you just threw for 450 yards and a loss to the Seahawks, or if you're the Lions and it was just a close loss and a great ending for the Bears, 21 points, giving up 21 points in the fourth quarter of the Bears and you lose 27-23, how much weight do you put into that first game, and how does your team respond in the team meeting rooms with each other after a first game situation? A big win or a big loss or a close game, how much does that all play into the emotions of the team?
You want some Gatorade?
Yeah, I mean, it's I've always tried to stay as even keel as possible, right? The week that follows a win or a loss should not dictate how you prepare, how you go about preparing, how you go about rehabbing, about executing the week as far as the game plan, watching film, rehabbing the body. Like, it shouldn't matter whether you win or lose. And over time, you set a standard for yourself. You get in a great routine, and this equates to an entire team. Like, you stick to your plan. You stick to what you believe in, what you preach,
and you stick by it, and over time, those things will happen. You don't ever want to get overzealous over a win or overreact over a loss, because it's 16 weeks. It's a marathon. I've been a part of too many teams where we've been on a struggling throughout the year, and we get hot, and we start clicking at the right time, and we ride a winning streak of 4 or 6 or 11-game winning streak into the playoffs. So the things can change quickly, but at least now you have a game where you can coach up the mistakes, you can coach up what you want to talk about, what you want to improve on, and you move forward. I mean, this game is going to leave behind anyone that dwells on the previous week, win or lose. You just got to turn the page, move on to your next opponent, because these weeks start jumbling together, and if you don't turn the page quickly, they'll start running together.
What were your thoughts on Cam Newton in New England, and do you think that's a good fit?
I think it's exactly what I said, right?
Yeah, let him be Cam.
If they use him and let him be Cam Newton, mm-hmm. and let him do what he does best and continue to evolve and push the envelope and keep defenses honest, I mean, they're going to be a tough out. I fully think that it's, you know, them and the Bills, but I give the nod to the Patriots as long as they continue to let Cam be free and let him excel and run the ball. You know, I think 15 of his runs, 6 or 7 were designed QB runs, and I think 4 of the 7 were like 3rd-and-1 situations where he got them all, which is exactly what you want to do with him. And then the other half of the runs were zone read types where the defense, you know, made him pull the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can hold up physically. I think he will. I think he's worked his tail off. You can look at him and just, you know, he looks like a Greek god physically. So he's going to have to hold up. But I love what they're doing. I love their, you know, obviously their respect and admiration for their organization and coaching staff. You know they're going to do what their players do best. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they win the division and be a tough out in the playoffs. And that's what I said last week.
You know, Eric, I'm sure that you've had experiences with despicable people in the insides of NFL groups, whether it's assistant coaches or, you know, those assistants that come out. And we've seen some low-level stuff. The Saints had that certain, I can't remember what the gate was, but some gate where they were targeting players. And I know that there's a really low level of despicability on certain situations, but when you're preparing to defend against Cam Newton, and you talked about him needing to stay upright and stay healthy, that's right, yeah, bounty gate, that's right, Lloyd. But when you're preparing a guy against a guy like Cam Newton, are you guys talking amongst each other saying, we got to hit him, and we've got to hit this guy, this guy's got to fill us, or is it different with Cam?
The only emphasis about Cam is if you don't wrap up and gang tackle, you're not bringing him down, because he's such a monster running the ball and physically imposing. You know, there are times where he gives himself up because he doesn't want to take a shot. But if it's a real running situation where he's looking to get extra yards, you better gang tackle and you better take him low and try to you know, shoot him at his hips and knees or ankles, whatever it takes to get him down. But never really have I been a part of a team where it's like, all right, let's take this guy out. You get a shot on him. You know, when we played Tom and Peyton and those guys, you know, we'd tell our front, like, you get around the pile, you get around after the pass is thrown, you're within a step, just bump him. Just give him a nice elbow or slap him on the arm as you're running by, just to let those guys know, like, man, if I hold on to this ball half more second, I'm going to get my face peeled back. So it's those types of things that you're telling the guys, but never, like, malicious acts. I've never really been a part of something like that. And if I did, you know, we'd speak up and say, because that's not how you want the game to be played.
Was there ever a guy that you remember that, you know, is breaking out of the open field and you're lining him up and you're like, oh boy, this is going to hurt. Like, you know, a big guy like Cam Newton or, you know, some of these bigger running backs, there were a guy like, oh man, I'm going for it and I'm going to bring him down, but this isn't going to be fun.
I mean, shoot, you're always thinking that when guys get in the open field. I'm trying to think. You know, Brandon Jacobs and when he was got going, he was just a physically, I mean, he was 6'4", 6'5", 260. You know, and I had a few times where I tackled him in the open field just because my timing, and I shot at his leg mid-step and was able to wrap him up. But you get those guys like Adrian Peterson coming downhill free reign through the line, and you're just like, how in the world? And I've been trucked. I've been ran over. I've bounced off guys. And the guys kept running, and they probably laughed at me while doing it. So it's the worst position to be in as a free safety, where you have to make this tackle somehow. And if you don't, then you're going to be on SportsCenter. And if not, you're going to be giving up a touchdown. And that's the job as a safety, is to protect the team and to save touchdowns. And you try to do it your best, but, man, these guys are the best in the league, and it's going to happen. So you just got to – I've always tried to take the air out and take a side and predetermine that they're going to cut a certain way by the leverage I take off them. So it worked out, but sometimes it didn't.
So this question is for both of you. Hands played in the NFL for a bit, and I want to. So and I guess the collegiate. What's more embarrassing, when they point at you in film room on a Monday or Tuesday, getting run over or getting juked, and the guy runs around you?
Ah, man. I've had both. So I wouldn't say it's embarrassing. I just think, like, you let your team down. So you're not – I never felt like I was embarrassed. Like, I could care less with the fans or people watching. Like, people that play the game and play your position know how hard those plays are. So
yeah.
You're bound to miss, right? You just hope your teammates pick you up. Like, if I miss the guy and he stumbles, you're just hoping that your other guys are running the ball and help you out, so it's not a touchdown. So I never felt that way, embarrassed, or I just felt like, all right, I need to be better, right? Like, if I get in that situation, how can I eliminate missing that tackle or getting juked, right? Like, that would just be an emphasis going forward of trying to be a better player so that doesn't happen for your team. But never did I felt embarrassed. Like, If you're worried or thinking about that type of stuff, you're not going to last long in this league.
For me, Scotty, I can remember the two running backs that ever drugged me. It was Thomas Jones and Marshall Faulk.
Oh, gosh. Thomas Jones was a man child. Wow. Yep.
I got drugged by both, and I will tell you that I'll never forget it. It was embarrassing. It was horrifying. The film was embarrassing. And I can't even tell you who'd ever really juked me. And I'm sure I got juked 100 times more than I got run over. But I don't know, Eric, now when they drop a pad on you and you feel your back hit the ground and you're hanging on to cloth and you get drugged three yards and you're waiting for somebody else to come help, it's horrible. It's bad.
It is awful. It is horrible. But, I mean, shoot, if you're getting dragged, that's fine. I mean, get them down by any means has always been my motto. A tackle in the book doesn't explain how you got him down, right? Like, whether I knock him out or I get dragged for 5 down to live and fight another day, then I did my job. But I mean, it happens. It happens to everybody. And if, you know, if some guys like live and you know, I've had teammates that out of fear in that of being in those situations where that's what drove them. That's what, you know, made them practice so hard, then that was great. Like, that's a motivating factor. It didn't make them play with fear, right, because of the fear of getting ran over or the fear of getting embarrassed. It made them work even harder so that wouldn't happen to them. So, I mean, it just depends on how you look at it and motivate yourself. But it happens to the best of us, man. You can go down in any all-time great, and I'm sure they've been juked. I'm sure they've been ran over, and I'm sure as heck know that they've given up some touchdowns in their heyday.
So, Eric, there were so many games you could identify last week as the game of the week. There really is. I mean, there were tremendous, tremendous games and performances. But Monday night game between the Titans and the Broncos, Gostkowski missing how many? What, three
four
field goals? Four field goals. And then kick – As a member of that team, how do you deal with Gostkowski during the game and then he kicks the game winner? Do you dismiss all the ones he missed and almost lost the game? Like, how do you deal with that?
You know, you just have to have the belief and the support that he's going to make it. Like, you know, once you start once you start just turning the page and turning your back on a teammate, then you're no better, right? Like, we're all in this together. And if a guy's struggling, if a guy gives up a touchdown or gives up three completions in a row, you don't want to be the teammate that turns his back on him, right? You want to go pick him up and help him out and give him confidence. So it's no different with a kicker. And just luckily he made it when it counted, and he can build off that, and it didn't cost him a game. Because as you guys know, when it comes down to week 15, 16, 17, you're going to look back to those games where you maybe missed a field goal or you gave up a last-minute, two-minute drive to lose the game. Like, all those games are going to come back to you, and you just hope throughout the season you're on the right side of those, because that usually determines whether you make the playoffs or not.
Mm-hmm. Eric Weddle, our guest. You hear from him every Thursday at high noon right here on the Zone Sports Network. Take a break. Some interesting rookie quarterback play over the weekend, and I want to get Eric's thoughts on that. When do you play a rookie quarterback? Do you just throw him to the wolves, or you let him sit a little bit? We'll get Eric's thoughts on that coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Jay Drew joining us, BYU football writer for the Deseret News. Do you have the feeling that most BYU guys are trying to follow the rules so they at least have a pretty good chance of playing, recognizing that anything can go wrong even if you're following the rules and they may have to postpone a game?
Yeah, I do. Around June or July, sources have told me there was an outbreak. They did have several guys test positive. At that time, there was some pretty stern shots fired across the bow from BYU administration to these players. There's 123 guys on that roster. You're talking about a ton of people, but I get the idea from the most part that the last couple of months they've done their best to follow the guidelines and protocols.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. Presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We're taking you inside the locker room with six-time NFL Pro Bowler Eric Weddle on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network NFL preview show. You got the Browns and Bengals coming up later on tonight. And then, of course, a full slate of games coming up this weekend. Eric Weddle kind enough to join us once again. And Eric, I wanted to ask you, because Miami's got Tua from Alabama, and they're letting him sit a little bit behind Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think 10 years from now, Ryan Fitzpatrick's still going to have a job in the NFL. It just seems like he's been in the league forever. You've got Tua, who's sitting in Miami, and they're going to let him learn. And then you got Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, and they're throwing him to the wolves. And I thought he was really good in week one and would have gotten a win if not for an offensive pass interference call. If you're – and I know every situation's different – but if you're a head coach, would you want your quarterback playing right away, or do you want him to sit and learn a little bit?
It just depends. Like, there are many factors that go into a decision like that. Whether it's first year coach, are you a coach that is on the hot seat and you got to win, or is your team built to win now if this kid is talented enough to do it? And is the quarterback, the veteran, that much better than the rookie? I mean, all those factor in that you got to make a decision on. My big thing is if it's not like a Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers situation, then the young buck's starting, and you're going to get in there, and we're going to build a system that punctuates what you do best as a quarterback. And we're gonna live with it and grow with you as an organization, as a team. I'm not gonna sit back and have an average quarterback lead my team when I can get this young buck in there that's super talented and way better physically, and get him experience and let's roll. You never know what can happen. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, he won 11 in a row and won the division. So I'm more on the side of rock and build the team and do things to help him be help him be an NFL quarterback, not do dumb stuff that he doesn't do good, and you're going to do it anyway because you're you're too prideful as a coach to change up what you do as an offensive philosophy.
Okay, so on the flip side of that, now you're a defensive coordinator, and tonight you're getting ready for Joe Burrow, and you're the Cleveland Browns. And look, the Browns, Myles Garrett, as much as people want to hate the guy, and he ripped off helmets and he does crazy things, it's tough to defend. And, you know, you got Sheldon Richardson, who's the bookend on that, him and Oliver Vernon. And then you got guys like Porter Gustin, a local guy who's out there that's going to be running around. Just preparing for a guy like Joe Burrow, a young guy that's just kind of cutting his teeth here in the NFL, what kinds of preparation, what kinds of things do you look at a young guy like that?
Well, obviously the transition is going to take time for young guys. And that's why you want to be aggressive as a defense. You want to give them different looks, show different looks, disguise, and put pressure on them. I mean, make them make decisions quick. It's already going to be moving fast. Don't let him sit back and get comfortable and give him simple reads that he's seen in college. Like, that makes no sense. So you want to make it tough. It seemed like every year we were going against a rookie quarterback when I was in Baltimore, whether it was Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Kizer, you know, some others. I think Miami had one. So, you know, you want to make it difficult. You want to give them different looks, and they're going to make mistakes. You just want to capitalize on them, and you want to just get on them early so they don't have hope in the second half and in the fourth quarter. You don't want a close game, because then the kid starts to believe and he starts getting confidence, and now you're looking at yourself like, man, I wish we would have put them away earlier.
You probably get the sense, though. I mean, it's like basketball. When somebody gets in the zone in the middle of a basketball game, you probably get that from a quarterback. If all of a sudden they start getting into rhythm, then watch out, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the game, the more experience you get, the more comfortable you get. You stop thinking, and you just react, and you play. Like, after my second, third year in the league, it felt like college all over again. It felt like high school. Like, you just gain confidence, you get comfortable, you start playing fast, you're not thinking. And it's no different with quarterbacks. And the more they play, the more they see, the more they learn on the fly, and better diagnose things and understand and being able to diagnosing information, processing information, the quicker you can understand and learn that while you're playing, you know, that's the difference for me and majority of guys I ever play with, because I was able to process information and understand it and make decisions off it quicker than anybody else. It wasn't that I was faster or quicker than most guys. It was because the information that I saw, I was able to take it in and execute after that. So some quarterbacks can make that transition easier, and some struggle. But I'm rolling with the guy. You don't take the guy number one overall and not play him. I mean, if that's the case, then you should draft someone else to help your team right now.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of this game tonight, the Cleveland Browns and the Bengals, the Browns just got beat up 38-6 by Baltimore. Is Baltimore that good, or the Browns that bad, in your opinion, Eric?
Baltimore is really dang good. They're a well-oiled machine right now, and you could just tell that it's going to take some time for Cleveland to get going. I mean, they got a talented team. They're just, you know, you got to find an identity. You got to figure out what works. You got to go through a few games, and hopefully you win half of them. You know, you go, you know, 50-50 on maybe the first four games, so you can find yourself and start implementing what you do good as a team, both offense, defense, special team. And then you start executing that game plan. But Baltimore knows who they are. They know what type of team they are. They're going to be they play great defense, great special teams. They run the football on offense, and they have the most dynamic player in the NFL as your quarterback, who's only getting, which is scary for the NFL. So they know who they are. They know what they run, and you got to stop them, not the other way around. And when you play that style where you're well coached, you know your identity, it's a hard team to deal with when you may not be at the same level as that, when you know who you are and know what you're about.
You were there for Lamar's rookie year, right, there in Baltimore?
I was, yep.
Did you get the sense pretty quick that this kid was going to be special?
he was dynamic and times where he was a scout for us for the first half of the year. And he would get in the open field, and I would just stop running because I was like, I'm not going to be able to touch him. And second of all, it's just going to be bad. I mean, there were plays that guys couldn't touch him on the field, literally. So, but in hindsight, in all OTAs in probably the first month or two of training camp and the first month of the season, he was so inconsistent throwing the ball. I didn't think he had a chance at that point in time to play and be a viable quarterback in this league because he just was that far off of being an NFL quarterback. And then, but the man worked. I mean, every day, 45 minutes after practice, he was doing footwork drills, technique, throwing motion, all that stuff. And then it started to change. You know, October, he'd be going against us on first team defense, the scout quarterback with scout receivers. And he was making plays on us. And I'm like, holy smokes, that is a legit throw this guy just made. And he worked his tail.
This is bumping me out. This is a good story.
I know.
Lloyd, let's see if we can get him reconnected because I want to hear the rest of that.
That's why Scotty and I are literally sitting here on the edge of our seats. Like, please let me hear the rest of this because that's crazy.
And you could tell that, too, from year one to year two. You know, all of us, you know, on the outsides looking in saw him improve, but talking about in the course of the season. Sorry, we lost you there for a second. Keep talking about you mentioned on the scout team he started making throws and started lighting it up.
Yeah, I mean, he was making these throws after, you know, October, and the guy just embodies leadership. The guys believe him, and once we made that switch, it just galvanized our team. And he hasn't looked back since, and he's gotten better consistency in the pocket. Obviously, the downfield throws he can make, and, man, I didn't see him having the season he had last year from what he did as a rookie. I mean, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. But, man, if there's a guy to root for, it's Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's just one of a kind and sure fun to watch.
Eric, I want to get your thoughts on Taysom Hill's ability to eventually take over the Saints as QB1. Is that in his future?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, that's what they're saying. I worry just, you know, I love Taysom. I've actually gotten close to him over the years playing against him and just, you know, appreciate what he brings to the team and how valuable he is and what he does to help their team win. I just don't know. He has such a sample size of playing quarterback in the pocket. You would have to build it around how they play with Lamar. I mean, let him be great. Let him run. He is dynamic in the open field. Obviously, he's able to throw the ball. How consistently, nobody knows. I think, obviously, that would be something he would really have to hammer home if you're just going to give him the reins of an NFL franchise, and that's the direction you're going to go. But, shoot, why not? More and more guys are able to do it, and he can definitely do it and be it. And as long as you build around him and do things – necessary to help him succeed, not do things that he's not very good at.
So as we talk about quarterbacks that obviously can run and are dynamic but need to get better in the passing, and Lamar certainly has done that, and the question is on Taysom. I was reading some excerpts. There's a guy that wrote a book about John Elway, and he's going back to the Tim Tebow years. And I got to ask, what was it like preparing for a team quarterback by Tim Tebow back in that weird year when he was playing for Denver?
Oh, man. it was interesting. I mean, it was kind of, you know, Josh McDaniels, and then, you know, Mike McCoy took over that next year when Tebow started. And it was just, I mean, it was such a liability throwing the ball that if you just played sound defensively and forced him to throw the ball, you knew you'd win. And you knew he eventually would make a mistake, right? Just a bad throw, errant throw, whatever, because this wasn't his strong suit. But if you kept the game close and you let him have a chance to win it late in the fourth, that's what he was going to do. So, but that's not in the same realm as
Lamar.
Oh, no,
I know.
Maybe some other guys.
but it was we just talked about it, making him throw, but if you let the team hang around in the fourth quarter, he's going to make plays to win the game. And he showed that, and that was always a point of emphasis. Is we get up, let's put him away. If he hangs around, you're going to lose the game. And he showed that, and that's what, you know, the belief he always shows. He would make crazy plays in the fourth quarter. Like, that's who he was, but he was never just that way. It was never going to be like that.
Eric, I'm trying to identify the game of the week coming up this weekend, and obviously starting tonight. Do you have a game of the week? I'm looking at this Rams-Eagles game as being a big one. I was looking at Chiefs-Chargers. Obviously, that's a big one. Is there one that kind of pops to your mind as being the game of the week, some importance, some big names?
I think the Rams are going to take it to the Eagles. The Eagles O-line is going to have some major troubles this week with the Rams. Chiefs-Chargers aren't ready for that. Chiefs, it may be close because they always play close, but that's not going to be a game in doubt. I think the Ravens-Texans game is going to be tight because the Texans come off a not-so-good performance going home. And knowing you don't want to ever start the season 0-2, so they're going to come out guns a-blazing and really doing everything they can for a win. I think Seattle Patriots is going to be – that might be the game of the week in Seattle. That in primetime night games, I think they're like 15-0 or something ridiculous. So it's the chips are stacked up against the Patriots. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of a victory. But Seattle, I mean, Russell Wilson, holy smokes. Taking it to another level.
Take our final break, come back, and wrap things up with Eric Weddle straight ahead. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Didn't he just say there's nothing the state is doing to stand in the way of college football?
What? Your policy is in the way!
I'm not following that, really. Pro teams are doing it. Sorry, my phone's ringing.
What, is this your first day on radio?
I'll just let it ring out.
Hit the button. Oh.
I know, it's across the room. Jake, why are you calling me? Are you just doing that just to bug me now?
I am, I admit it. That was a low blow. Who's calling you this time?
I don't know who that is.
You don't have Lloyd's number in your phone?
Now Scotty's calling.
Phone's ringing, dude.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. This is your NFL preview show featuring former Ute and NFL great Eric Weddle with Hans and Scotty on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, one more segment with Eric Weddle here on your NFL preview show. Hans and I were looking at our predictions during the break, and Eric was mentioning if you want to swap out your MVP pick, we'd let you do that. Are you concerned about Tom Brady after week one?
Nope, not one bit. If there's one thing I've learned over my course of my career is never overreact, never worry after one game. Let alone a quarter of the season. So let's talk after 16 games, and we'll see where we're all at with our pick.
I got to tell you, man, I was watching that whole staff, and I saw my old offensive coordinator, even Tom Moore, who's on the sideline with Tom Brady. Like, that is a deep cast and crew right there, Eric.
There's a lot of personality, a lot of ideas and thoughts being thrust around, and that's why I think it's going to take some time for them to figure out who they are, what they are, right? And, you know, Tom blending on what he likes to do with Bruce, you know, coinciding what he likes to do as a coach and going to and figuring it out. So I wouldn't be surprised after four games they're 2-2, and then they'll figure it out from there.
And again, we're not overreacting here, but I know that you're high on the Cowboys. What were your thoughts on them after week one?
Oh, man, I was smiling from ear to ear after that game. You know, my old team, my guys winning, pulling that game out. You know, I was, you know, you just look back at how that game unfolded and, you know, the hands to the face that Jared got that didn't get called, that led to a pick, that was a field goal. And then late in the game, the push-off by Gallup on Ramsey, you know, does that subconsciously go in the refs? Do they think about, man, we blew that call? You know, do we got to make up for it somehow, some way? But, you know, people don't forget, like, I want everyone just to go outside and run right next to each other and have one person just slightly nudge the other person going as fast as you can and see what happens to your body and how you react. I mean, whether it was a full push or a half push, it still affects the player and puts the other guy at advantage, and that's the rule. Like, you can't do that. So it was good. I loved how the Rams outcoached them on both sides of the ball, and it showed.
But I got to tell you, Eric, it's so difficult sometimes because, you know, I'm watching. I can remember getting in hand battles and having a defensive lineman throw his hand in my face 10 times. Or when I was a defensive lineman, hand battles, and you're all up in the mask, and then finally the official throws a flag, and it's on you because you're the one that put it in the mask. And, you know, I'm watching those outsides fight all game long. They're hand battling, mm-hmm. and they're going at it. And here we are in crunch seconds of the game, and they finally call a hand battle and a push-off. Does it? That's got to be extremely frustrating as a defender or a wide receiver who gets the offensive PI.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But when you come down from the game and you take the emotions out of it, you rewatch how the game unfolded, you're going to look and you say, well, we shouldn't put ourselves in that position, right? You shouldn't put yourself in a position that you let the refs make a call, a 50-50 call. Like, play better. Play better as a team. And don't make excuses and move forward. Like, I've never been a guy that had made excuses or, you know, blamed it on an official or this. You know, look, if you want to win in this league, you got to go out and action. You got to go play good. And if you don't, you're gonna struggle, and it's going to be a toss-up at the end of the game. So don't do that to yourself. That's what I would say and think. And, you know, some guys don't. They whine about it. Then they carry it over the next week, and then they play like crap that game, and now they're 0-2, and you should have been moved forward and moved past it. So I've always looked forward and moved on. Whether you play good or bad, you just got to move forward.
Would you ever keep track of officials that you knew, okay, this guy lets me get away with a little bit more than this guy, and I can be a little bit more physical because this guy is, you know, isn't as necessarily have an itchy trigger finger like the other guy does?
Well, I mean, you have an idea of these referees and how they ref the games. You can look up stats. I mean, in Baltimore, we would put up the crew that have a game, who the head ref was, who his crew, what were they calling? Are they heavy, dominant on offensive pass interference? Are they dominant on holding penalties? Like, you kind of have an idea going forward. But for me personally, like, the refs and I have always had a great relationship. I've always kind of been the median to my teammates and them if they get into heated arguments. And most refs are pretty clear with what they expect and what they want. You kind of just talk to them pre-game, you know, how are you going to let us play, the grabbing, the pushing off. And within the play, within the game, like, they usually give you a play. If you're grabbing or you pulled and the ball was away, he'd come up and tell you, like, hey, man, I could have threw a flag. Like, no more of that. Like, that's your warning. So some refs are like that. Some are straight and narrow and kind of no leeway. Some don't let you play. Some let you play. It just kind of dictates who the ref is and how they like to ref the games.
See, this is the thing. This is where I see Eric as the kind of guy that's going to be like, sweet talking the officials pregame. Hey, how's the kids? How's everything going on in your life?
Course.
And, you know, just loving them up a little bit.
Did
knowing,
the missus get the pie?
Yeah, like, you know what? I you guys have a rough job out here, man. We respect you and all the hard work you do. And then hoping that pays dividends down the line.
Of course. I mean, it's just these guys have a hard job, right? They're trying their best just like we are. So you don't have to be it to them or – excuse my language. You don't have to be like a guy that just puts them down.
Yeah.
You know, we all make mistakes. We're not perfect. So, you know, it just shows a little courtesy and respect to ask how they're doing, how the week was going, how was Thanksgiving, how their kids doing. Like, they're going week to week just like us. So just showing a little compassion at times does a lot of good.
Were you ever close to getting ejected? I saw one ejection off of a punch to the head. Were you ever close to getting ejected?
No. Be over emotion, man. I've always controlled myself, never let myself get out of character and let outside influence determine how I act. So never. I mean, guys that get ejected for throwing punches or getting too close to ref is just uncalled for. It's just like have some self component, like what is going to hurt your team, and don't do it. Like, be above yourself. And never quite understood like that type of stuff. Like, if a guy wants to throw a punch, let him throw a punch into your face mask. He'll probably break his hand.
Yeah,
I watched Rashawn Evans throw that punch on Jake Butt. I swear that had to have broke his hand. Like, how did that not break his hand?
I don't know. I was a senior in high school. I was in like a little county all-star game. You know, it wasn't like the McDonald's all-star game that, you know, I was supposed to go to. It was just a little Riverside County all-star game. But I got into a fight with a linebacker in practice, and he got so mad he punched me with my helmet on, and I laughed at him. And that was the last time he ever played. He broke his hand, had to have surgery on it, and then didn't even go play in college anymore. So it's just like, guys, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And this is in practice. I mean, come on. Like, what do you think's going to happen? You're hitting me with a face mask on, like a helmet. Like, not the most logical thing to do at the time. But, you know, I laughed, and he went off of practice, and I continued practicing, and the rest is history.
So my 9-year-old son is a huge fan of yours, and he's always been a big Eric Weddle fan. He had an interception in his flag football game the other day. He goes, "Yeah, Dad, I was Eric Weddle. Sick. I picked it off."
And oh man, I gotta meet him then.
Oh no, trust me, we're gonna find a way to arrange it. If not, I might not be able to sleep well at night because he's not gonna be happy. But we were doing something station promotional wise, and he saw a picture, and he's like, "That's not Eric Weddle. Eric Weddle's got a beard." And so the question is the beard permanently gone now that you're not playing football?
Man, I do miss the beard at times, but you know, I really don't need the magical powers that it brought me over the course of my career at this point in my life, other than just looking amazing and incredible with it. You know, honestly, I had it from the season of the Rams. Like, I was just missing it, and so I started growing out again, and it was coming along great. And then the shutdown happened, COVID, and I had no one to trim it up, and I had no one to. I couldn't go to my barber, and I tried to hold on for as long as I could. Then I said, "This is ridiculous. I can't do it anymore." So I cut it, and now I just got the nice mustache with the Flavor Saver, and rocking that. You know, just 35 years old, living the dream. Who would have thought?
That's awesome.
Just a stash in the Flavor Saver. I like it. I like it, Eric. That's good.
Yeah. Just living the dream, man. Living it up.
Well, hey, we appreciate it. Looking forward to next week. Enjoy the games. And thanks for all you do, Eric. This has been fun.
Always. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Quickest hour in sports radio.
No
Eric.
Doubt. Eric Weddle right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. NFL preview show. Of course, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Remember, you can get incredible savings on these rides. All you have to do is just come on by and say hi. They've got some at 0% financing. Remember, it comes with the, you know what? It's Utah. It's the eternal warranty. It lasts for a long, long time. As many miles as you want to put on it, as long as you want to own it, that car is going to be covered. And it comes with all new vehicles, too. So come down, check it out. Tim Daly Infinity, 4594 South State Street. We'd love to see you down here and check out these rides. Price to move right here on the Zone Sports Network.